Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool Zone Media.
Book club. And welcome to Cool Zone Media Book Club, which is your weekly fiction podcast of Book Club that comes from Cool Zone Media. I'm your host, Margaret Killjoy, and my guest today is Gare. Hi, Gare.
Hello.
Let's pretend like it's Sunday, because that's when people are listening. How's your Sunday going?
Pretty good. Isn't it Easter coming up soon?
You would think I would be the person in this conversation who would know.
Yeah, really, really, really betraying your Catholic upbringing, Margaret.
Yeah, it is 2 weeks from now-ish and 1 week from when this podcast comes out.
Okay, so you still have time to get your Easter feast together. That's good.
Yeah, in order to do my weird pagan celebration that we've decided to call Christianity.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Hello, dear listener. Margaret was wrong. It is Easter. I sure hope you have your little chocolate eggies ready for the celebration. Eat well. Eat well.
Actually, that's a good segue into today's story. Because today... Well, I'm not going to tell you what it's about. It's a story. You'll hear what it's about. But
Wait. Are stories about things?
Some of them.
I just thought they're things that happen.
Yes. Actually, all fiction is true. That's what the word fiction means. Everything possible to be believed is an image of the truth, said William Blake.
So true, bestie.
Yeah. So today's story is called The Last Beat of My Heart, and it is by Edward Morris. Who's Edward Morris? Well, Edward Morris is a proud pagan who studies Buddhism and is a queer, disabled, retired bouncer from Portland. He's a 2011 nominee for the Pushcart Prize in Literature. He was nominated for the 2009 Riesling and the 2005 BSFA. His short stories have been published over 150 times and have made it into Italian, Polish, Finnish, Spanish, Hungarian, and even Canadian.
Oh, wow.
Which is the language that you grew up speaking.
Yeah, that was my native tongue.
Yeah.
Hey.
He has a novel called Alphabet of Lightning that is out from Broken Eye Books. The Last Beat of My Heart by Edward Morris. 0001, 0002, Power. The plug is seated in the wall by spindly little hands. The juice flows. The tiny, piercing green light comes on. Two young girls' voices, rapt and fascinated by an old new toy. Do you remember when they used to use these for real? Before even CDs? As if. I'm only 2 years older than you. It's 80s music. Look on the label. All different. Okay. So how do you make it play? Ahem. Let me see, sis. Side A. Stop, auto, reverse. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Blank tape, hiss. Then, Just Like Heaven, The Cure, Elektra Records, 1987. I have to put this song first on the tape. Lori will know why. It was plain the last time we hung out. It was plain when she kissed me. That's why it goes first. There are rules and steps to everything. Everything. A kiss. Leaving your body. Taking a punch. Making a mixtape. Lori's older brother, George, is a DJ, and he says you can't put more than one song by the same band on the same side of the tape. It just doesn't work. I understand that, just like I understand that I'm stuck here, stuck being a kid, stuck doing this thing that takes forever. There are parts about this tape and this night that I don't want to remember, but I can't shut this off, like it's all a bad dream and I'm just about to wake up, except that I never do. I never do. It's this hot night, August 21st, and 7th grade is about to start in a week, and things are happening. I'm pissed off at Dad. I'm going to sneak out and go to what's left of the dance anyway, after I make this mixtape. I already feel like I'm starting to leave my body again. I think that when you get out of your body, you have to learn to either stay out and move around, or come back and make yourself move. There are rules and steps to it. I want to know them. See, I just learned how to leave my body for longer than a minute or a second or whatever. I'm going to try it again, soon. I remember all the words or enough of the ones that I took away from Uncle Walter's house on the last day. I remember how. I do. I remember how to take a punch, too. I've had the practice. You have to learn how to hit back, block, fall, or hide. Even when a body thinks it can't. The mind finds a way. It's like that anytime something awful happens very fast. I have a lot of time to think until... Oh God, I'm done copying the last song in this tape and Dad's passed out and I can sneak out to the dance. Chris Clark from down the street is bringing this giant bottle of homemade wine he ganked from his dad. And the last time I went to a dance, the coolest girl I know kissed me. This time, I'm bringing the tape, just in case Lori's there. Anything can happen when I'm done, when the tape is done, when I'm... Saturday Night Holocaust, Dead Kennedys, Alternative Tentacles, 1982. Which is a thing that you can buy, because it's an album, much like the things that you can buy that we advertise, which also bear the complexity of being anti-capitalist like the Dead Kennedys, and yet making their living through the sale of products. Here's ads.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Done. It's still now. It's still then. I'm still right here, wanting something I can never have. Dreaming the real world again. Where it is some year I don't even want to hear. I don't want to hear it. Don't. Want. Don't. Don't. Decay has its rules and steps, too. I don't get played much anymore. I haven't. I can't. Remember Lori's face. I can. I have no idea if I remember it right, but I remember Lori's mouth, like raindrops and strawberries. The way she put her hands in my hair and looked into my eyes, just like her. Like nobody, and nothing else but her. Which was the only way I ever wanted her to look in my eyes. I remember her face, I think. I have to believe that it is Lori's face. I have no idea where I'll go when I finally go, when the ribbon on this tape breaks, or its iron oxide emulsion eventually cycles down to nothing. I was almost done learning how to leave my body, in dreams and sometimes awake, when the awful thing happened, the one I don't want to remember. I was almost done learning to say those words that Uncle Walter was saying, that one day when I walked in on him in the back room of his garage, where the kids weren't supposed to go when we were over to visit, back when I was only 11 and there were still visits. I heard Uncle Walter saying those words when I saw him walk up out of his body. He was chanting them in his throat, like he could sing in three different tones. But Uncle Walter wasn't singing, really. He was sort of shaping the notes, or his body was, because his essence was... At the time, I lost my balance and stumbled where I was standing and trying to be quiet, cracking the back of my head on the doorframe. Uncle Walter's essence was walking up out of his body, where he sat in that broken-backed, farty old lazy boy of his in some kind of strange posture. Then his essence stopped walking up out of him. What happened wasn't pretty. Uncle Walter ended the process. He was startled. I had startled him. We exchanged some words of our own then, Uncle Walter and me. Not very nice ones. He cut me out of his life until he wrote that letter. We were both horrified. We should have calmed down. Later on, by myself, I parroted those initial words I heard Uncle Walter say, to make himself walk up out of his body. I said them as well as I could in the dark in my own room later. I could feel the words in the back of my throat. It felt like swallowing a bee. I needed to sit down so I could stand up out of myself and climb the spiderweb ladder, the silver cord thing that came up out of my head and pulled me to my feet, making me look toward the ceiling and sing more of what weren't quite words. I could sense that there was a world on the other end of that silver cord, maybe even one with lions in wardrobes and scary sorceress queens, giants and singing harps and magic beans, anything I could imagine. Maybe I tried and tried to get up out of here. Maybe I never wanted to come back, but couldn't figure out how to cut off and float away. Not in time. Not in time. I could do it in school if I really thought about it for whole minutes, pretend like I was sleeping and then go out through the top of my head, along the ceiling, towards the clean, bright light that whispered, "Come." But I couldn't, yet. I was still alive. It wasn't time. Rabbit Over You, The Damned, Big Beat Records, 1983. I've been having better luck leaving my body right before I lay down to sleep, while saying those weird words I somehow knew in my bones to be Scots Gaelic, the ones I heard when I walked in on what I shouldn't have seen. Then there were the nasty words we had, and the first ones that good old Walter ever said on the subject shortly before that, when he came back into himself. "Yeah, I'll teach you to do that when your balls drop," Uncle Walter told me when I walked in on him, when he got done being startled. But his dark eyes were still doing that weird thing they did sometimes. The lights were starting to flicker in that room, the way that lights always did around Uncle Walter when he got upset. The way they did when he walked back into his body just before he spoke first. I never asked the question that immediately preceded his actual comment. Uncle Walter pulled the question straight from my head. I felt him do it, and that made me remember something even earlier. The way the candles flickered in the garage when I was 6, and I walked in on Uncle Walter and Dad shouting at each other. There was some kind of a circle drawn on the concrete, half finished. It didn't look like paint. They looked like they were going to fight. I remember the nasty words that they had that day, too. I remember all the nasty words, every one Dad or Uncle Walter or anyone else ever said. I have to strain to remember Lori's face, but I remember all those nasty words. Dad never talked to Uncle Walter again after I was 11, but I could pick who to listen to, one or neither. "I can't be in touch too much," Uncle Walter wrote in that one weird letter not long later. "It would break a lot of wards, whatever the hell that meant, and cause a lot of problems between me and your dad that I would never, ever be able to solve. Not like there aren't enough of those anyway. I'm sorry. Have a good life, Walter." I brought this on myself. Now I have forever to be sorry. But we don't talk about things like that in this house, not until this tape is done. Then maybe we will. Because I'm done. I was almost done. It's almost done. I'm almost done. Rubber Ring, The Smiths, Sire, 1987. And you know what else is problematic like The Smiths?
The advertisements that you may or may not hear on this podcast.
We've been having some bad ones lately, and yeah, we sure we've have. Been working to get them out of here. But in general, if you think to yourself, do Margaret and Garrison support you becoming a jailer? I think I can speak for both of us when I say the answer is yes.
Yeah, you could probably refer to our body of work and come to that conclusion yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so here are the other ads that are hopefully not for the state of Israel or becoming a jailer. Hopefully those have been excised by now.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. I am an endlessly repeating placeholder on the skin of this emulsion that decays down to nothing even now, lodged in the hot, dusty left-hand cassette deck of a little Sears component stereo I bought with lawn mowing money in 89, that was it, last year. It has a CD deck in the top, but I don't have any CDs yet. Just a whole bunch of these mixtapes I started making for my big sister Hannah's old records, before Dad burned half of them for having skulls and stuff on them, and band names like Suicidal Tendencies or the Butthole Surfers. 1989, last year, when everything but Dad made sense. I can tell where the skip is, the little leader between each song. Just once, I got stuck. 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 And now, the Smiths are telling me not to forget the songs that saved my life. I was wearing George's big DJ headphones when I snaked the extra long cord 50 feet through the room and out onto the roof to go smoke a cigarette. That time, I didn't care whether Dad smelled it. He could damn well come up and yank me down. Mom was on the back porch 20 feet below me. I was more worried about her. She always went back there and did a lot of wash or dishes or something to get away. To get her head away. I remember Walter yelling at Dad in his garage when I was six, "Don't you hurt my sister, you lousy drunk." But back then, I couldn't put two and two together and get anything. I was six. 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 All of a sudden, the back door banged and Mom was screaming up at me, "Get downstairs! Get downstairs!" And I saw Hallelujah, Leonard Cohen, Columbia, 1984. I saw the column of fire lick up the side of the back porch, the flamethrower belch from the dryer vent. I had time to be fascinated. Just time. I opened my mouth to scream, and I didn't even think about what I was screaming, and I was screaming the words, those sketchy Uncle Walter words at the top of my lungs. I saw Mom jump back a bit and make the sign of the cross, and then those headphones had a long cord, I mentioned that. Not silver, but curly plastic-coated copper wire. It led back in the window, to the tape deck. When the awful thing happened, I remember the song, the one I was copying. The Last Beat of My Heart, Susie and the Banshees, Polydor Records, 1988. Ah, God, Susie's operatic voice starts out slow and goes up, 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 as my skin goes up, 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 and my heart just keeps going faster, 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 until the last beat is immolation. The last beat is 20, 19, 18, 17. Click, crunch, 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 crunch. Auto reverse, play. Sometimes I dream, like now, or the other dream I had, where Powersburg FD put my tape deck in a bin with a bunch of stuff to take to the Goodwill. I may be there still, but dreams decay. Part of me knows that, just like part of me knows it was a bad idea to go out that way, whether I was right or not. When I was only halfway through making this mixtape for Lori, no reason, payback for that kiss, it was just after dinner. The old man popped me in the mouth for spiking up my mohawk. Then he called my music satanic. I said what I said, and then Mom goes, "Don't use Dad's logic against him, honey. It bruises his ego." And then he hit her a lick too, and then... That was an hour or so ago. It's almost 7. I'm away to the roof for a smoke, just as soon as I finish. I'll leave another tape in, maybe The Misfits or Gigi Allen, just to give Dad nightmares, when this song is done. Those tapes are in the file cabinet where I keep my smokes, where Dad doesn't know, the drawer goes all the way back. And there are other things, the ones I started making, the wards of my own that you won't find on any backwards records because the witches in our family never worshipped Satan, Dad. Then, crack. I remember his fist connecting with my mouth, flattening my lips to my teeth, knocking me sideways and down. I remember, the blood of a newly wakened witch spilling in anger on that floor, and the curse I shrieked at my father, the curse that comes back to me 1,000-fold. As I stop the world and melt, and the first song comes on again, and I wake into the hot August dream a little while longer, restless and wanting to be out the door, waiting to finish this mixtape and bring it down to the school dance. That night, Dad accused me of talking to Uncle Walter behind his back. I wish Uncle Walter and I would have talked a good bit more. That's the end of the story.
I have one main question.
Okay.
What's a tape deck?
When I was a kid, there was a cartoon called Darkwing Duck. And one of the jokes, the only joke I remember from this pretty mid cartoon,
yeah,
was the younger kid being like, "Records, are those like big CDs?" And I remember thinking, I'm in like fourth or fifth grade, I remember thinking, that's a pretty bad joke.
Wow, Margaret, I'm sorry, my sense of humor is worse than your fourth grade sense of humor.
That's right. I'm attempting to say, I think it's really fast. I love the what's a fax machine jokes, you know?
Yeah.
I actually really like them.
I briefly had a tape deck, but I transitioned to CDs pretty soon.
Yeah.
But I do remember some old, it's probably some kind of like weird, like Christian music tapes that I had. Yeah.
My first tape was Smashing Pumpkins' Siamese Dream that my sister dubbed for me with a bunch of REM on the other side and some New Order.
Okay, well, it's like 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I'm not a big Smashing Pumpkins fan anymore. But New Order, thumbs up.
Yeah.
And what was the first like CD you bought?
Oh, this is probably gonna be embarrassing. It might have been an Owl City CD, which is quite embarrassing.
So the reason that like old people like to think that young people don't know anything about the past is that old people don't know anything about the present or the recent past. I have no idea who Owl City is.
Yeah.
Whereas you actually did know what a tape deck was.
Yeah, and I knew all but one of the bands in the story, which I'm actually pleasantly surprised by.
Hell yeah.
No, Owl City was like a Christian electronic like sound producer.
Oh, okay.
The guy actually created most of the sounds for like the fifth generation of the iPhone.
Huh.
So he both made music, some of which is like okay, but like...
Is he like Christian Moby?
I don't know what Moby is. Maybe
interesting.
I'll have to add that to my list.
Okay. Self-righteous vegan who is almost radical, who made a lot of electronic music in the 90s.
It kind of sounds like the postal service, but slightly more electronic and slightly worse. That's kind of Owl City in my mind.
Okay. I like the postal service.
I also like the postal
service. I don't know if I like the worse version, but...
See, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
I found that very fun. It is definitely always startling once you get sent back into your body by another corporeal form entering the room that you're traveling from.
Yeah.
That always does take a sec to adjust. Like I can totally handle some grotesque earth spirit showing up, but if another actual human being walks in, that's incredibly jarring.
Yeah, I like this story because it's a magic set in the real world story that feels real.
Absolutely.
Not casting fireballs or whatever.
This is what actual occult practice looks like.
Yeah. And then just talking about how there's the whole genre is not the right word, but maybe trope of people with shitty parents, especially dads, who need to find ways to escape, and they escape into their music, right? And I like the idea of taking that literally and seeing what it looks like. I love that the silver cord, the headphones with their cord is the same as the silver cord that allows you to move in the astral plane. I loved that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also am a sucker for this generational thing that has come down through time, but is not wanted in the modern context. You know, the weird Scots Gaelic magic or whatever that they're referring to.
Yeah, it definitely has an American Gothic kind of feel, doing magic in an old basement garage, as opposed to doing it in a temple or cathedral and the general Western esoteric tradition.
Yeah.
Where you have robes and you're doing ceremonial stuff versus you're drawing chalk circles in the basement.
Yeah. And laying on a lazy boy in order to be comfy while you leave your body.
Yeah. There's a dryer and washing machine in the background. You're I kind of enjoy that style of Gothic Americana combined with this very lo-fi occult current, which is honestly pretty well reflected in the mixtape and all of the artists mentioned.
Yeah. It's also funny. I usually don't like stories where I'm not entirely sure what's happening.
Whoa, interesting. I love stories where that I don't know what's happening.
Okay. And for me, I feel like often, I think sometimes it's just, and it's not the case. I really like the way that I don't totally know what happened in this story. I've read it several times, right?
Sure.
And I am not entirely certain whether this is the voice that is coming from the mixtape. I'm not certain whether the framing story of the two girls who find an old tape, whether they're hearing this as an audio narration between songs. Yeah. I also don't know whether the idea is that the protagonist has died and then is now sort of living in this tape in as much as they're living anywhere. I don't quite know. And I actually like that I don't know, and I usually don't.
I definitely love stuff where it has that level of it has the level of ambiguity that I experience in my actual life.
Yeah.
I like when that happens, when I'm not sure what the voices in my head that I'm talking to, where do they come from? Is that just me? I really appreciate that sort of thing. And the notion that you can continue to live in some way through a recording that gets played back.
Yeah.
I definitely find to be a very fun concept and very evocative of the whole point of making art as well. It's is art just this really almost sad attempt at immortality?
Yeah.
But no, I definitely enjoy when I have, I don't have a firm ground underneath me. Because I feel the ground we experience, I think people assume is slightly more firm than what it actually may be.
I think that was a big part of the growing up process for me, was learning that the ground under our feet is not as firm as we thought. And realizing once you're oh, there isn't really a neurotypical,
Yeah.
And the more you realize that you're oh, everyone is just different levels of high or low functioning crazy. It's useful.
and all the stuff they were talking about in the story of like with their mention of like dreams and waking up from dreams and the slow intermeshing of dream and wakefulness. And I think a lot of these concepts for young people specifically are easier to envision via dreams. Like it's hard to figure out where like the bottom of a dream is, like how, yeah. like how far can you keep going? Sometimes you think, oh, this is all right. This is just, I'm awake. I'm going through my tasks. And then boom, you're totally somewhere else. You're like, oh, that was actually a dream.
Yeah.
And you just see like this, like almost like eternal descent. And how there's certain ideas of that are absolutely reflected in our kind of everyday waking existence as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love all this stuff. And it actually ties into, I'm going to read the notes from the author, from Edward Morris, that he sent me. He said about the story, one, it ends with, this story is for Jackie Kessler and the ties that bind. And then the notes about the story is, I could rant for a week. It's, of course, mostly drawn from life, but it's also an homage to the great writer whose work crossed my axis at the same time, Jackie Kessler, and her horrifying The Ties That Bind. There's a 2006 story. Her narrator didn't get stuck on a mixtape. She got her face eaten off by a Jack Russell. It was more of a Mean Girls scenario, but it hit me so hard I had to try my own. I have enough other things to rant about the subject matter for a full-blown interview, trying to keep this concise. That was a... Basically, he was like, there's so much to it that I kind of can't get into it.
Yeah, I bet. No, I think that I think underlines some of what we were talking about a little bit. But yeah, like the how you can like capture the human form within like linear experiences of art.
Yeah.
Even though I would say it's hard to usually view the human form in that fashion because it is both a linear experience, but now it also exists independent of linear time. Like it is this thing from before, but now it can be played in the future and it's still there in the future. It's still repeating that same moment.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the day that this comes out, I'll be investigating ghosts at the Oregon Ghost Conference. And there's certainly some people that view ghosts in a similar way.
Yeah.
They view ghosts as like a moment of a person caught in time that keeps replaying the same action over and over again. They're not really like even like interactable, but it's just replaying this thing that like imprinted onto, like, I don't quite know how tape decks work, but I assume if you have like two tapes in,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of the first one can get pushed into the second one if it like is done incorrectly, possibly. I'm totally like constructing a terrible metaphor, but as if like a person going through a specific motion was so strong or impactful to them that it gets imprinted on the next person who's going to enter into this space as well.
Right.
And there's certainly people that view ghosts in that framework, which I find to be a really interesting way to think about that concept.
I like that. Have I ever told you my theory on ghosts?
I don't think so.
My theory on ghosts is that I don't believe in ghosts, but it's a conscious choice because of the way that I live. Like,
I mean, that's more or less my view on ghosts generally. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm like, at some point I was like, I live in a van by myself sleeping in the middle of the woods. And then later I was like, now I'm in a cabin in the middle of the woods. And now I'm in a house in the middle of the woods. Doesn't do me any good to believe like, you know,
totally
something could be around.
Yeah, no, that's kind of some more of my like chaos magic background. But yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because
like,
I mean, and that doesn't make me right or wrong. It just makes it like
the way that I have
to cope.
Believing in ghosts would just more or less be like an inconvenience based on how the human mind works.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's easier just to be like, nah, I'm just not going to deal with that right now.
Yeah.
No, I've totally thought about which beliefs I currently hold that I would change if I were to move into like an isolated forested area.
Yeah.
Of course I would change certain beliefs about how reality works.
Yeah, exactly. There used to be like, I used to live in this off-grid barn and guests would stay in the other room in the barn and they would like report ghost sightings in this barn. And so it came up at a meeting. People were like, oh, we should talk about the ghost in the barn. And I was the only one who lived in the barn full time. So I was like, there is no ghost in the barn.
There's
and
no
we will not
barn.
Put it on
yeah.
the agenda. And they were like, why are you being so dismissive? And I was like, because I live here alone. Like,
I mean, that is kind of why I appreciate the role of like the city magician, because you're surrounded by people, you have a little bit more flexibility to allow certain things into your like orbit of being, and like your orbit of experience. But I absolutely like respect the kind of witches and mystics that like take the hermit path and like go out, and I can totally see myself doing that at some point. Like I totally respect the log lady journey. Because I think that is an incredibly valuable method of kind of experiencing reality, and I think it can have you also be much closer to certain other types of experiences than in the hustle and bustle and constant like consciousness and light that is just perforating human cities.
Yeah, I think they do both have really specific advantages for like ways of finding wisdom, you know. I think but before we get totally off track, we should probably end this particular episode, and to end it with plugs from Edward Morris. Edward Morris says brokeneyebooks.com is a wonderful small press that needs everyone's help. They run Gwendolyn Kiste, they run Matthew Bartlett, and they gave my highly experimental Alphabet of Lightning a hope. Alphabet of Lightning is the beginning of a novel series called There Was a Crooked Man, which is about as long as Dies the Fire or maybe Song of Ice and Fire, which are two of my favorite book series, so that is promising. I haven't read this yet. This story was the first thing I read by Edward Morris, but I really liked it, so I'm going to look out more.
Yeah.
It is a difficult, challenging, and tremendously important work that took me 3 decades to nail, and all my friends who have read it deliriously love it. So everyone should check out Alphabet of Lightning. And if they want to check out you and your work and they're not currently listening to the It Could Happen Here feed, but instead listening to my feed, where can they find you?
Well, you can find me on the It Could Happen Here feed.
Oh.
I recently put together an update on the situation in Atlanta, Georgia, Cop City. I tried to summarize the past 6 months of events in like 45 minutes. So that was a very, very interesting task. And then also, you can probably check out my feed on twitter.com at HungryBowtie for some timely coverage of the Oregon Ghost Conference, which will eventually turn into some sort of episode, but not until I have time to process the experience.
Everyone should check out the Atlanta update. It's a very good episode. And as for me, if you're not listening to this on the Cool People Who Did Cool Stuff feed, I have a podcast. It's called Cool People Did Cool Stuff. It is about cool people who did cool stuff. And also my most recent Substack post is called Afraid of the Woman in the Mirror, and it is about transness and monstrosity and about becoming Bloody Mary. And we'll see you all next week.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.